Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Hello everyone, you're all very welcome to the GAA Hour. We have a new guest on the show today. He's a former, he managed the Ireland Shinty team this year. He's a former hurling coach, a Connacht hurling director. He's been at the forefront of hurling development in Ireland for the last number of years. A former hurler himself, and that's Bertumna and Galloman, Damien Coleman. Damien, how's things?
Thanks very much, Niall. I wasn't fully aware of all those myself, but you're bringing it to life there, all right.
How's things with you, Damien? I suppose it was one of those weekends where hurling just took over, really.
Yeah, look, it'll do your heart good, Niall, to be part of the GAA, to be a GAA man, a GAA person, a GAA woman over the weekend between, you know, the enthralling contests in both hurling semi-finals at senior level. You also had the intermediate and junior there with Turin and Eastleigh from my province just coming up short against Cork opposition in the intermediate and junior. And then you finished off there last night with what can only be described as a magnificent display for Camogie nationally and internationally. Girls going full on with high skill levels and commitment. So really enjoyed the Camogie there now last night to finish off the weekend night, to be honest.
We'll start off with Saturday night, I suppose. I suppose at the time we thought it couldn't be topped. It nearly was matched the following day by the other semi-final and the Camogie, as you said. But Thomas, it probably is the story of the weekend because Ballygunner were so fancied. Thomas, I suppose, they were a small bit written off coming into it, Damien, but I suppose as a Galway man, Bertumna, you're not too far away from them. You'd have probably known better than to write them off.
When you win in Galway and you're as consistent as you are at St. Thomas's, like, everyone's talking about a six in a row there now. But in the last 11 years, they've won 8 county championships. They won in 12 as well and went on and won an All-Ireland club in 13. A good friend of mine there involved with them, Dinny Cahill, in 2013. And then they won again in 16 in Galway. So look, there's 8 county championships in 11 years. They're a proud club. They do their business very well, Niall, on and off the field, to be honest. I'd be up close there and personal with the underage development over the years through my job, and Thomas's were one club that struck me as, you know, they'll take all the good stuff and they'll get energy around that, even in games development with child and youth development, and some of the other stuff they'll just park and they'll leave there. It's not for them. So they never suffered fools, and they've had really good administrators over the years, and the team behind the team is the way I'd like to describe them. And now, you know, they absolutely are doing something right to take a lot of they have a lot of star names, but you know, they've a lot of hurlers there that other clubs might have just it might have been a bit of slippage for other clubs that are now household names because they're maximising the full potential out of every player. And I suppose now you have to do that in rural Ireland. You only have what you have, and you've got to maximise and try and make and flourish with everybody. But Thomas is doing that very well. And I wouldn't have been a bit surprised. I understood Ballygunner, phenomenal team, making light of opposition in their own county over the last number of years, and again in Munster. But Thomas has came with a physicality aligned to technical, tactical, and team play, and they never relented. Like, it was phenomenal. I was saying at one stage of my own will be able to keep this going, and not only had to do it for the 60 plus minutes, they had to go again in the extra time, and they did keep it going. And one thing that struck me, Niall, was their use of subs. Kenneth Burke is a brilliant young manager, is the only way I can describe Kenneth. He was involved with us in the academy program in Galway in my 20 years there with developing the academies and the underage high performance in our county. And he has Cathal Daly there with him as well. And they're very astute. The use of the substitutions, pulling lads on, pulling them off. I think they used 8 or 9 different substitutions versus Ballygunner's 2 or 3. And even lads that came off got new energy, probably were a bit bowled for being taken off. And they were released back into the fray again and produced more the second time around. So just thought it was very clever. 26 points didn't separate the two teams in the end. It normally would. 26 points is a fair score in All-Ireland semi-final stage. But yeah, look, it wouldn't have surprised me now, to be honest.
Well, you mentioned there that Ballygunner, well, Thomas has used many substitutions. Ballygunner didn't use any substitution in normal time. The first sub they took off was after 75 minutes, obviously into extra time. That was Patrick Fitzgerald, which was a surprise in itself, given how well he was hurling. But you mentioned there at the start, Damien, that Thomas has started like such men possessed. Like, and I was watching the game, and I don't think I've ever seen a team, I suppose, just hit so hard in those early minutes. Like, I remember there was one stage, a throw-in. It was maybe only 3 minutes into the game, and David Burke and Paddy Levy stood into it, and Burke just swung wild. Like, and I suppose it just showed the way Thomas's were, their intentions in this game, that they were going to go in hard. But as you said, you would have thought maybe against the wind that they might suffer in the second half, and especially going into extra time as well. But they kept it up right through, and the way they managed the clusters, they nearly won the majority of the clusters, Damien, which was a credit to them that they could keep it up for that long.
No, absolutely. As we said there, they brought a physicality, but a Thomas's team, I'd always rate Thomas's team technically, tactically, decision making wise, and their team play is phenomenal. But yeah, they did. I suppose men possessed is probably a good description of it. But again, with a level headedness and a steadiness, there was nobody out of order. David Burke set down a few early markers in throw ins and that. But these boys play the game to the true spirit. I can't say I've ever seen anyone from Thomas's take it over the line. They've got this mental astuteness, and they know how far to push it. But yes, they won all their physical battles. Even when, that very good Ballygunner team came out of Rooks, they were hounded, they were harassed, they were dispossessed again. And I thought Keane O'Mahony, who struggled a little bit on Desi Hutchinson early on, they trusted the management in Keane. They allowed him mark for the day. They allowed him, get into that battle. And God, I think he was very manly in the end, and he was coming out ball there towards the end. And you'd have to say that he got on top in the end. Now, at Desi Hutchinson there, Niall, as you have to be calm about a top-class player like that. He's always going to score 1-3 or 1-4. He's always going to be dangerous. He's always going to, depending on the ball he gets, again, from his half-backs or midfield, but they always play a great ball, Ballyhale or Belly Gunner. And I just thought that the trust of the management team, and again, knowing Kenneth Burke, Cathal Daly, they trust their group, and there's a psychological safety there and trust. And it's okay to be beaten for a couple of balls. You don't have to panic. You know, you're calm under pressure. And you get to win that battle in the end. So I just thought the whole group, from the management, right through the players, that was a victory for everybody. Now there was nobody that really stood out. Yes, Conor Cooney hit his freeze, was very steady under pressure. He was clinical, to be very honest. But look at you have to give them credit where it's due. They went in with a game plan, they stuck to it, and they never faltered.
It was clear after the game that they had a bit of a motivation about them. Evan Duggan, who was he was dropped for David Burke, and he spoke afterwards. He said, being told that he was dropped during the week, that he was cracked, and this was, obviously devastating for him coming into a semi-final. But he said as well, everyone was writing us off. Six goal was done in a row, a puck of a ball away from the All-Ireland final against Ballyhale. I know we didn't turn up last year, but we were written off as if we were a waste of time, he said. And I suppose, there was probably a suspicion out there that Thomas's, they kind of haven't done themselves justice. I know they won in 2013, as we mentioned earlier, but they've lost four semi-finals in the last 6 years, to Ballyhale, first of all, then they lost to Bursley, they lost to Ballyhale, obviously very unluckily in Semple Stadium that day. TJ got the late 21-yard free. But then they didn't really show up against Dunloy. So I suppose that would have been a thing for them too, Damien, that they felt that they hadn't done themselves justice.
Yeah, I think, Niall, that's fair to say. It all adds to the motivational climate. And if you use that stuff positively and productively as a management team and as collectively as a group of players in the synergy effort, that can really help you. But there'll be nobody more disappointed than St. Thomas's. They're an outstanding group of players. Again, 8 county championships in 11 years in Galway, 6 in a row this year. And they'll know themselves that they need to deliver now on the national stage. And I think they went the real right way about it there, Niall, the weekend. And, there's no finals won yet, and they'd be very steady, and they'd have a lot of conscientiousness. And they'll go again, and they'll have a look at the Loughlin Gaels now, and they'll see how they can go tactically there to get them over the line of that. But look at, I'd say as a group of players, I don't speak on behalf of them for sure, but as a group of players, they'll be privately and secretly disappointed that they haven't more accolades nationally, because they have the stuff to do it. They have the type of player, they have the grit, the commitment, the competence, the determination. So, yeah, I'd say privately, Niall, they'd feel a little bit left out on the national scale, and now's their chance to really go after this.
Conor Cooney he's obviously been a main man for them for a good few years, and sometimes he can be criticised for his performances with Galway, but he's always been he's been nearly the Galway hurler of the year for as so many years in a row there with St. Thomas's, and he was brilliant at the weekend too. He was 87% with his frees, and Ballygunner were 54% with theirs. So that really was the difference in the end. But I suppose, just as impressive as Conor was, his brother Shane, and I suppose this is a lad we haven't seen as much as we should have, really, because he's had a lot of injuries. I know he did a cruciate maybe 2 years ago and has missed a lot of time with Galway. But there was some display from him on Saturday, wasn't it, Damien, at centre-back?
Oh, look, he stood out from the start and he never relented all through. But we know Conor has that calibre and class. Or Shane has that calibre and class. We know that from underage academies in Galway. We know it from the juvenile fixtures programmes. He has that sort of X factor. and very steady, positions himself very well. Like when you look at, you mentioned, you know, Conor Cooney there, Niall. Like he scored 2.59 in the Galway Club Championship and 37 of those frees. So that's the calibre of player. He never, ever fails to turn up in a club jersey. And having looked at that then, you know, in Galway, I think 15 different scoring contributions from different panel members and team members in the championship. And again, Conor, and then again, Shane Cooney, you know, has got on the scoreboard in Galway as well from centre back. Like even Ger Kelly, their goalie, gets on the scoreboard. Like he got on again there the other night, and he scored an infamous goal when he was playing with Mayo as well, senior hurlers. But whatever they're doing there in the underage, right through their youth players, they're giving off the right messages, the right type of coaching is coming in. And then, you know, the confidence and competence pieces come together at adult senior, and they turn up on the day when they wear a Thomas's jersey, and there's real pride in that parish. I know that's very cliched in the GA, but, you know, I'd be very sure of using that terminology in Thomas's. There's great pride in the parish, and the you know, in rural Ireland, St. Thomas's GA Club is the hub of the community. And so, you know, everybody congregates there, and they turn up on match day as well. So, but 15 different scores in the Galway Championship, averaging about 220 per game, conceding 114. So that's a big deal. They won some of their group games there. You know, they beat us in Portumna in the group there by 24 points. Hit 331 that evening. That's 40 points. That's a big deal in a scoring context in club hurling. You know, they beat St. Turlochmore in the group by 5 points, beat Gart by 9. And then you move into the knockout part of the Galway Club Championship. You know, they beat Capitagal in the quarterfinal by 13 points, Sarsfields by 3, and Turlochmore in the final by 2. So, you know, it did get tighter in Galway as it went on for Thomas's, but they had the know-how. They were able to get over the line. Even last year's final there, I remember it was a classic game themselves in Loughrea, but they were just had the know-how. They had the belief in each other. They were able to just rescue the games when they need to be rescued. And again, a steadiness and a composure piece to them. So the management have to get a lot of credit for that too, Niall.
What would it be like numbers-wise in Thomas's, Damien?
Well, look, it's rural Ireland. They're doing very well. They have Kilcreest and Peterswell, the two feeder national schools. So, you know, it wouldn't be any different than most rural Ireland clubs, but they seem to be able to get everyone to come and get everyone to be part of it and get everyone to play. And again, I used those words earlier, that their club is the hub of the community, and everybody wants to throw in their lot. I'd have noticed over the years, Niall, through, you know, the Cool Camp program, Thomas's would want to do it their way. And I always remember calling down on a Monday morning there, you know, with my own full-time job, and a David Burke or a Conor Cooney, they could have been in Croke Park on the Sunday. They might have won, they might have lost, but they were below in the Cool Camp in St. Thomas's at 9 o'clock on the Monday morning. So when you have that type of leadership in the club, you know, it rings true and people really value it. And then there's lots of lads in the club who have played with Thomas's, obviously, at the high level, but wouldn't be household names. And they roll their sleeves up and put their shoulder to the wheel for their child and youth streams as well. So they really do their business well, and I think they're a model for any GA club out there. Lots of GA clubs do lots of things right, but then there's learnings to be taken from some clubs as well, and I definitely use St. Thomas's as a model for that, Niall.
Just lastly on this game, you mentioned Dave Burke there. I'm sure you've come across him on various different stages, but it's a testament to him, isn't it, that you know, he'd done his cruciate in April. He was back playing 6 months later in the Galway County Final, came on for 15 minutes in that, and then lasted the 80 minutes on Saturday night. And he was so good too.
And he was. He gives that leadership, and he owns the game. Like, you know, you see David in matches, and he's chatting to the referee. He's a leader. He's chatting to his own players. He's organising players on the pitch. He's a management guy. When you have players on a pitch there, as you know, we've all been on sidelines as coaches and managers. And when you have a player there that can do your job for you inside the four white lines, and, you know, organise, you know, cutting edge decision making there in key moments in the game. So he's a manager's joy. And, you know, I remember David when he wandered into a Galway academy at under 14. I couldn't believe it. I said, geez, this guy has it all at 14, left and right. His preferred position was midfield. The reading of the play, the dropping in behind the half-back line. Like some of us coaches at the time, we were just man-on-man, 15-on-15, back in that time when David was 14 years of age. But, geez, David had a different way of thinking about how to hurl. I remember belonging to Tony Forrest with him, and I said to, you know, fellow selectors, I said, God, this lad really owns this pitch. Maybe we should be doing something different. And he'd nearly move himself there as a 14-year-old. If there was a goal to be got, you could see David moving himself to 11 or 14 to get the goal. And he'd playing in midfield. But I remember his brother Kenneth as well, when he was a phenomenal talent. Niall Kenneth Burke, the manager now. There was nobody who could come near Kenneth Burke at his age level in Galway. He was just young. I remember as a young coach in my professional capacity, you have to go and see this lad, I was told. You have to go and see this lad. And look at all the Burks have come through there. John, the father, former manager, contributed so significantly over the years. And Paula there, steeped in it as well, the mother. And Deirdre, the camogie player with Galway. So you don't grow up in the Burks household thinking that much outside hurling or camogie, Niall. So I think it's a feeder system there in that house for sure. But we could take, if we want to produce young hurlers in the future, I think we need to interview John and Paula.
Definitely. Just three of the last 24 All-Ireland Club winners. This was a stat from Conor McKenna I seen. Just three of the last 24 are from Munster. So that's Newtown Shandrum in 2004, Napiershig 2016, Ballygunner 2022. You'd probably expect that there would be a small few more. I know Ballygunner, they'll be frustrated that they haven't added to their one, especially this year, I suppose, when Ballyhale were gone. But just on Ballygunner, I'm sure you see them bouncing back, Damien, but just it'll be a disappointing night for them and a disappointing few weeks to look back on that.
Yeah, and I think they're really well managed. And, you know, from a distance there, you'd have observations over the last number of years, Darragh Sullivan and how he does his business. And when he speaks then, you know, in interviews after the match, there's no egos and it's real down-to-earth stuff and they're really professional. And, yeah, look at the course. Good friend of mine over the years there, Paul Flynn as well, you know, would have contributed significantly to both his club, Ballygunner and Waterford, over time. But, you know, you see Stephen O'Keefe there. Like, you talk about Nicky Quaid. Yes, he's outstanding. Owen Murphy and Kilkenny, absolutely outstanding. But this Stephen O'Keefe is right up there in the top three goalies in the country. And he's able to take his penalty. He's able to make his saves, his distribution of the ball. But I just thought the weekend they will be disappointed, but they just met a superior force on the night, a hungrier force in St. Thomas's. And I look at when you lose, you know, I don't think the penalty shootout, Niall, is the way to go to decide an All-Ireland Club semi-final. But when you come out the right side of it, it's euphoria. But, you know, it's the opposite psychological when you don't come out the right side of it. But I just thought over the hour, you know, household names, Barry Coughlin, Philip O'Mahony, Shane Sullivan, Pádraig Mahony, you know, they were only as good as they were allowed to be Saturday night. Pádraig Mahony missing frees, you never see it. He missing shots from play. you know, even when they had time to distribute ball, they didn't distribute it as proficiently as they would have previously. But, yeah, look, that's all credit to St. Thomas's and the enormity of the fight they brought and the physicality. But I was surprised, all right, with Fitzgerald being taken off. He's a dangerous player. And, you know, you leave dangerous players on the pitch. One ball in the end can sort that. But look at, they will be disappointed. But look at, hurling is at such a high level now. There's no guarantees in intercounty. There's no guarantees in any game at club level when you get to the high level. So look at, yes, Ballygunner will be disappointed. But and the penalty separated in the end, which is probably unfair. But Thomas's are good for their win as well.
Yeah.
Niall, I might just say there about Evan Duggan. Any club team that take a gamble on leaving Evan Duggan out of a starting 15 are really sure about what they're doing, because that young fella is an outstanding hurler, left and right, attacking, wing back. You could play him in the forwards. And I was just delighted for him. He must have shipped a lot of disappointment not being in the starting 15. And again, you know, a big, brave decision by the management that worked out in the end, because he came on, he got his point from play, and he stuck his penalty. So just a little word for Evan Duggan. He's an outstanding person, first of all. I'd know him well through the academy programme, and an outstanding hurler. And if you can afford to be taking a gamble on leaving an Evan Duggan off, you've got a really cohesive squad.
He certainly seemed to take it very well. Like, you could even see it in his post-match interview. Like, there was no real chip in his shoulder or anything like that. He kind of saw that it was for the benefit of the team, and he made his impact then.
You know, absolutely. Just knowing the young fella there, he's really positive and productive in everything he does. Really good personality. He was really good to have around squads there in the underage in Galway with the academies, and he won his All-Ireland minor with Geoffrey Linsky as well. So look, I'd have expected nothing. You know, he's very manly. I'd expect nothing different from Evan. But I'll tell you one thing. They'll do well to leave him out at the starting 15 now when they pick the All-Ireland team. And if they do leave him out, they have a great, you know, they have a great squad.
Well, they have O'Loughlin Gaels. That's their opposition in the All-Ireland final. It's their first final since 2011. They were beaten that day by Clarenbridge by 12 points. So Mark Butler, who was man of the match yesterday, he mentioned that, I suppose, that this was a bit of motivation for them even coming into the semi-final yesterday, that, you know, we have to get back to this stage. And, you know, we have to, I suppose, right that wrong. So it was a brilliant win. It was obviously a hard-fought win for them against Cushendall yesterday, Damien.
No, absolutely. And, you know, well done to O'Loughlin Gaels. They've won their last three games by a point, like tight, Kilkenny, Leinster final, and then again yesterday. So they know how to dig deep, and they bring a massive competitiveness, and they know how to dig out the results in the end. Young Fogarty there from wing back unleashing the shot to win the game. I think he's a phenomenal hurler. I've seen him last year. I've seen him again in games this year. But when you look at, like, Mark Bergen, Paddy Deegan, Hugh Lawler, Mickey Butler, you know, they produce it every day they go out, even in a Kilkenny jersey. So, you know, but winning the last three games by a point, there's something magic in that. Any team that comes out of Kilkenny, Niall, you know, they have to be taken hugely seriously. This team are hurt, obviously. 2011 there, Clarenbridge won the All-Ireland club there, Clarenbridge's only title. And, you know, a lot of these lads weren't around that time, but there were young lads going to matches. And so the history and the tradition, winning five Kilkenny titles and not progressing on a national scale, that's not normal in a Kilkenny. So they have a lot to do to keep with the tradition in their county. what Ballyhale do when they come out. So, yeah, look, at hugely to be respected. My heart to go out to the Cushion Dolls. I was only talking to Sambo McNaughton there this morning. We'd be good friends. And, you know, they left it all on the field. I know they hit the woodwork twice and they had an amount of wides, but they really died in their boots and they fought hard and there's no recrimination up there. And his only point to me was that, you know, they need greater exposure to the bigger games to understand.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The know-how of getting over these semi-finals. I had the honour and pleasure of being with them myself on a small scale in 2015 and 2016 when they did beat Sarsfields in the All-Ireland Club semi-final in 2016. Sambo had invited me on a number of weekends to go up and do some work to support the management team there. So I totally understand the seaside resort in the Glens of Antrim, and you know they give every boy and girl an opportunity to be part of a beautiful game through national school. They again do their business in the club so well with promotion at child and promotion at youth, and you know, when you look at Conor McAllister and goals, phenomenal. The two Burks, Paddy and Martin, like they're soldiers, like in warriors. Owen Campbell there has done it with the county coming up from the half back line, always with support points and scores. I know Ryan McCambridge. I personally know Neil McManus very well. It was interesting to see the battle yesterday. He lined out and Hugh Lawler picked him up straight away. You know, that said a lot about how Lachlan Gales were thinking about what Neil McManus's influence might be on the game. He still got 9 points, 2 from play, didn't let anybody down. Phenomenal leader. We had him as captain in the Irish hurling team, the Shinty International as well, this year. So we had Neil, and he lets nobody down any day. And just, you know, I'd see more years in him in an Antrim, but he's a family life now and he's moving on in age, and he sees himself now as retired. But what a leader. But look, they'll be very disappointed, Cushion Dáil. The massive tradition up there. And again, you know, to play the top teams, look at the journeys they have to put in, Niall. It's a credit to be as good as they are. I think they've 11 Ulster titles won and maybe one All-Ireland semi-final appearance or one All-Ireland final appearance against Napiershey, that brilliant Napiershey team in 2016, who there was nobody going to beat on that year. We had an experience of them in the All-Ireland Club semi-final in 2014, Portumna, and they were on the way, and they were definitely going to win an All-Ireland Club. So, yeah, look, at congratulations to Lachlan Gales, but, you know, commiserations to Cushion Dáil, Rory Ogh, the real passion for hurling up there, and you know, your heart would go out to them now, an Ulster team, an Antrim team, and they come so close and just didn't see it out.
Well, so you mentioned 2016 when they beat Sarsfields. They gave them a nice beating that day to reach that All-Ireland final. But they were only beaten by Thomas's by 1 point in 2019 in Parnell Park. And it was the same again here. Like, they were on fire, a bit like St. Thomas's. They raced into an early lead. You mentioned all of their impressive performance there from Paddy Burke. He was unbelievable in the full back line. Owen Campbell the same. It was disappointment for Neil McManus with the late wide. He gave a great interview though. I suppose typical of the man, Damien. He gave a great interview straight afterwards. He said to on TG Cahir, he said, "I got the hard one and missed the easy one. Ryan McCambridge played me a beautiful ball up the line and I knew when it was coming to me that I was going to shimmy one way and then shoot the other. I should have took an extra step into it and drove it over the bar like I've been telling all the young lads in training every night. I should have taken my own advice, really." So you'd know Neil extremely well, Damien, as you mentioned, he was your captain for the Ireland Shinty team, but you could even see the respect that the O'Loughlin Gales players have for him. Like, they were all straight up to him, you know, shaking his hand, saying hard luck. Like, he's a tremendous ambassador, really.
Look, Niall, you've given him a massive introduction there. There's he's manly in his approach. He's very honest. He's a brilliant decision maker. Technically, he's gifted, you know, the tactical with the decision making. He's gifted. He's a team player. He always has himself ready for battle and ready for war physically. You know, he's the true essence of a professional in an amateur sport. And I'd say, look, at as a person away from hurling, he has a lot to offer. He could be a big figure. I could see Neil McManus being a big figure in the GAA going forward, if the powers that be in Croke Park use him positively and productively. He's very smart, and he thinks about everything, and I'm just sorry not to see him in an Antrim jersey again. I just, you know, he was captain of our team this year in 2023. Imagine playing 15 or 16 years for Antrim, and he never was afforded the opportunity of being nominated for an All-Star. Does somebody miss something there along the road in those selections? And I know the All-Star selections are hard, and you can always make a point for who you pick, and there's always people left out. I remember back in time, Brian Whelan was the same. You know, that brilliant athlete made wing back a team of the century in the end. But Neil McManus, like, he epitomises everything somebody should be in the GAA. He's a giver back to children in his community. He coaches at underage level. If you arrived up to Cushendall next week, you're most likely to find a Neil McManus in the pitch poking around with kids or youth players, or giving something back that way. So look at, yeah, I think he's a big future outside of hurling now in officialdom if he wants to go that route. But yeah, I have so much time for Neil, and you led him in there very well.
So Kilkenny, they've three teams in the finals. You mentioned the intermediate there with Turin. They were actually unlucky to be beaten by Castle Lines. Thomastown won the other semi-final in that, and Tullaher Rossbirken are into the junior final. And sure, obviously O'Loughlin's are into the senior final. Mikey Butler, I suppose he was obviously one of their impressive performers. He has been throughout the year himself, Paddy Deegan, Hugh Lawler. There's other lads too, obviously. David Fogarty has been brilliant, a great wing back to come up for scores. Jordan Malloy as well. Similar to Neil McManus, Mikey Butler was interviewed on TG Cahir after. And he's a real straight talker, Damien, a bit like how he plays the game. He said, "We weren't happy with the forwards in the first few minutes. They weren't chasing back. They weren't hooking. We put it to them at half time, and they really did come up and get hooks and blocks then. And the ball inside wasn't as good as it was in the first half." So he's a straight talker. He wasn't afraid to call out the boys, Damien.
Yeah, and you'd have to admire that in him. Any Kilkenny player who gives an interview after a big game, they speak so well. They talk about the team. They never talk about themselves. They talk about the real stuff, Niall. So, you know, you'd have to admire that. And Mikey Butler, I believe he was... He did the backroom stuff there as a young lad in Kilkenny, his apprenticeship was going around with Racker Cody, I believe, organising jerseys in dressing rooms and organising the halftime energy bars and that. But look at the big battle yesterday was, you know, he went straight on Joey McLaughlin. I think that Joey McLaughlin is a phenomenal talent. He's a proper hurler, corner forward there with Rory Oak.
He's only 18 or 19, I think, Damien.
Yeah, he's a really good talent, really good talent. Has the balance, the guile, left and right. You know, knows where the goals are, knows how to get goals. I kind of see a Damien Hayes in him. If there's half a chance of a goal, he's not going for the handy point. I see that in Joey McLaughlin, proper hurler. We're going to hear more about that young Joey McLaughlin. Paddy Burke stepping in beside Luke Hogan again. That was a key battle. Hugh Lawler stepping in beside Neil McManus. And we mentioned the Mikey Butler straight in there beside Joey McLaughlin. And like Joey McLaughlin still coming out with his 1-1 or 1-2. It just shows the potential of a current All-Star. But yeah, I always loved the honesty in the Kilkenny player after big games, the lack of ego, the selflessness for the team. It was all about the team. It was the we versus the me, Niall always. And, you know, an interesting thing for me yesterday was, we'll say, it was the 51st minute before Lachlan Gales went ahead. So that'll just show the supremacy, the effort that Rory Ogan, the fight they brought, and they getting the 1-4 at the start. And, there'll be regrets in Cushendall today, and there'll be the whole analysis thing kicks in. But, you know, I think they can hold their heads up and be proud. But, you know, the shots hitting the woodwork and the shots going wide and the little bit of decision-making that Neil McManus referred to after the game and his honesty. So, but isn't that the way it is after every game? That's tight. But look at, for lads like myself there and yourself, look at the weekend we got out of GA. The GA keeps giving, Niall.
Like, the talk was that with Intercounty gone for so long that it's, you know, that it's kind of they're losing marketability or so on. But with games like that, it's certainly not like everyone was talking about.
Yeah, and I think, look, at the GAA nationally had to do something. You know, the 95% of the players are in the club. The 5% can't rule and take over. You know, the GAA is about, part of their value system is about inclusivity, teamwork, community. So for about community, teamwork and inclusivity, the club players need to shine and need to be given afforded their opportunity there within the fixtures programme as well. I think we have a really good balance in that, the inter-county 6 months in the club. And, you know, players in the club now can plan a life, can plan a family life. They know when they're on, they know when they're off. The inter-county player obviously has to go 24/7, 365 days of the year, Niall, based on they're obviously going to be the key leaders in their club when they come back from the intercounty setup. But I think we have it real right with the structure, strategy, and systems presently. And long may it continue. And we're seeing high level games, like all the games that you go to, even in my own county, that aren't streamed or aren't televised. You know, there's real good quality in it. And I did mention Sarsfield's been only 3 points off of St. Thomas's in a county semi-final. And, you know, Turlochmore only been 2 points off of St. Thomas's. And then you have Thomas's now in an All-Ireland final. So, you know, the championships in the club scene are strong in the majority of counties. Now, they need tweaking in some counties, but that's for internal decisions with county boards, how to get that games balance right and how to get higher, better quality. But, I do feel sorry for the Antrims and the Downs and those northern teams that have to travel huge journeys to get the quality. You know, have to travel south, have to travel across that line that we famously talk about now, from Dublin to Galway, south of that line to get the quality games. But you look at the GAA is very strong. It's very strong in clubs, and what we see there the weekend there is fruition of that.
Just a last one on that. It's going to be a different situation for St. Thomas's. Having beaten Ballygunner, they may go into this All-Ireland final as favourites, which they definitely weren't for the semi-final. Like, do you think they'll be able to replicate that performance again after Christmas?
I do, Niall. And they're January the 20th now to sort their injuries and gather momentum again and build the physical and build the psychological. They're really grounded. And I said about the management team there, I really mean that. They're really grounded and they're proper hurling men and women involved with the team. Favourites tags are that doesn't bother at Thomas's. They're going to win and they're going to maximise their full potential again, as are O'Loughlin Gales. So we're in for a cracker there on January the 20th. There, be looking out for the link to buy the tickets there as soon as it comes. That's a game to be at now, to be very honest. And, any team coming out of Kilkenny have to be respected. And again, the club championship in Galway being so strong, any team coming out of our county at club level have to be respected as well. So they do.
How did you find coaching the Shinty this year, Damien? A bit of a change from the hurling.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was probably a 3-month gig. I was honoured to be asked, first of all, by Charlie Harrison there. He's the overseas manager in Croke Park. And then I suppose the second part of it was to get a proper management team with me, because the players are going to come if that setup is right. And Sambo McNaughton there doesn't know the GAA anything at this stage, a household name. Kieran Kingston, former Cork manager, and Michael Kavanagh, Kilkenny as well, was able to deliver on and off the field. Now in a managerial capacity, Michael is a great person to work with. So level-headed as well, carries no ego. They're in around the players. The job was to, out of maybe 200 players, Niall, was to select 20. And that's a lot of decision-making. But again, some of the club scene there makes up your mind for you. If you're busy with your club and you're progressing, you're not in the selecting arena for us. So the rule is you pick 7 Lee McCarthy players and the other 13 then have to be from the Joe McDonough, Ring Rackard and Maher. It was a hugely enjoyable experience meeting players from the other counties, giving them their opportunity. And then winning, of course, was important because Ireland hadn't won that series there for a number of years. And the last time it was played in 2019, Scotland prevailed by a large amount. So it was important to keep the series alive. And having your Jerry Melrick there from Cork and Rob Downey and having Pádraig Walsh. Pádraig Walsh was player of the match. He's retired now since from the Kilkenny setup. But he was the player of the match. I think he brought 7 hurls on the day. Niall, and I think he finished up breaking 6 of them. So he had his count tally right. I think Michael Kavanagh went on with about 9 minutes to go and said, "This is your last piece of ash. You better stop flaking here." But Pádraig's a great character. And again, having him in around Luke McCuskers from Fermanagh and the Caelan Taggarts from Down, and all those players getting an opportunity to be around a Pádraig Walsh. And again, in every training session, he wholehearted and, carries no ego. Like, it's just amazing to work with that type of player. And I totally enjoyed it. We had a great group, great off-team, off-pitch group and a great on-pitch group. And getting the win was important for us. I think if there's any game worth playing, it's worth winning, including challenge matches. So that's the attitude we went out with. And the players didn't let us down in the day. Roland in goals, phenomenal. Keneally full back when Rob Downey had to go off, phenomenal. Just nobody let us down. Everybody worked hard, and we had a lovely kind of group ethos, and everybody honoured the opportunity to play for the country there. So it was a nice experience, to be very honest, Niall. Yeah, very nice.
Would you be more likely to break hurls playing Shinty, or was Pádraig Walsh just on a bit of a mad one?
Páraic Walsh, never pulled a bad stroke all day, Niall. Páraic Walsh, the shinty sticks don't break. You know, they're like the hockey stick, so you'll have your shinty stick there for the whole match. And the makeup of the there may be maple or carbon fibre. So, you know, the ash are going to break in that duel. And again, you know, you need to be in early in the tackle. You know, you don't come late to a guy pulling a shinty stick because they could be a metre longer than a hurley in some instances. So you need to be in early in the tackle. But Páraic Walsh was in early for every tackle, and he won his majority of ball, and he was unanimous for player of the match in the end. Well, Andrew Rowland was right up there with him now, the goalkeeper. What a goalkeeper from Laois. I mentioned three goalkeepers earlier on, but Andrew Rowland is right up there in the top five goalkeepers in the country, a professional out and out. And we don't get to see him as much because he's in a Laois jersey, but, you know, what a hurler, what a professional. As were all the Laois lads that turned out for us, Paddy Purcell, Stephen Maher, a whole lot of them like came and put their shoulder to the wheel. But yeah, look at the shinty sticks don't break, the hurleys do. But Páraic was fair and honest in every pull, to be very honest.
He'll have a big order in for Star Hurleys in Kilkenny there over Christmas.
There is. He's retired now from the intercounty scene, so his order mightn't be as big now.
You mentioned the Camogie actually just there at the start, Damien. Disappointment for Sarsfields Galway, but it was a deserved win, you'd have to say, for Dixborough. Ciara O'Shea was maybe the star. She got a brilliant point when they needed one to level it up, and then Aoife Prendergast was very good too. But disappointment for Sarsfields, but they've obviously won their fair share too.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, Sarsfields were going for a 3 in a row national titles yesterday. That's a big deal, like, that a club is that prominent over a sustained period of time. And Kilkerran Clonburn then are Lady Champions in Galway Senior. They won their 3 in a row. So it would have been nice for Sarsfields to finish out that. But look at Sarsfields tactically lost their way in the middle third towards the end of the game. Dixborough definitely dominated there. I thought that Gahan lady, number 20, the sub, like, what a ball winner, what a link-up player. She won a tremendous amount of ball and enabled the strikers there to get the vital scores. The Prendergast girl there, she was clinical throughout. God, I was amazed at her striking. You know, right hand on top, struck off her left. She had that, you know, her favourite stroke off her left side. Clinical all day. I thought the O'Gorman girl there in midfield was phenomenal as well. And, you know, Clifford and Harwick as well. Look at, they did deserve their win in the end, but it was small margins again for Sarsfields. And, you know, they won't be happy with that. But I did feel that Niamh McGrath was a big loss for Sarsfields. Just not available this year. If she was leading at the 40, it would have freed her sister Orin up. You know, that's an extra forward on the day. I know that Siobhan and the Kelly girl there missed no free. They were brilliant with the free taking, but that leadership there that Niamh McGrath probably would have given was missed on the day. But yeah, hats off to Dixborough. They came with a fight. They came with a plan. And typical Kilkenny, they stuck to their guns to the bitter end, Niall.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Lucinda Gatton there. She actually captained Kilkenny to an All-Ireland back in the COVID year, and she's only 5 months after giving birth, so it was a serious performance from her there off the bench. Just while I have you, Damien, you're probably in a good place, I suppose, to talk, I suppose, about... There was the controversy, obviously, this year with five counties that they were going to be left out of the league. Eventually, they were reinstated. And there's kind of been a bit of a upheaval between National Hurling Action Plans and National Hurling Development Committee, which was disbanded at the start of the year. Like, how do you see, I suppose, the development of hurling that way? Obviously, you've been at the forefront of it, working in Connacht as development manager with that National Hurling Committee? Like, how do you see the lie of the land there now at the minute?
Yeah, I suppose just maybe to comment on it, Niall, I think the way to promote and support a sport is not to get rid of your adult team in the county. That's the team all the kids aspire towards and look up to. And I felt even in my own province there, Leitrim were beaten in the Division 3B of the National League. They were in a National League final in 2023. And, you know, they were just narrowly not in the Larry Maher final in Crow Park. They won two of their round robin games and drew one, and if that wasn't a draw, they would have had a superior scoring difference. They would have been in a Larry Maher final. So they're boxing well above their weight, and they're at on their own ability level, they're at the table. Like, so the way to get rid of the way to promote a sport is not to get rid of teams. And, you know, I think that needs to be taught out a bit better. There's a new national committee there now. Please God, they'll come up with cutting-edge, top-class suggestions to drive this all on. But, you know, it was very narrow-minded, I felt, from some administrators to think that let's not field your adult team in a national league. Let's rob players under GAA values of inclusivity, teamwork and community the opportunity to play in league. Let's ring fence that money and put it in at club level. That wasn't the way to go. But you know, out of every adversity, there's an opportunity. I think it got all the hurling people together. It got them to think outside the box, and it gave them the opportunity there now to come strong with new plans for sustainability. And that. So look at, I'd have been strong in my opinion that everybody deserves the chance. Inter-county hurling is pretty strong. It's okay at all the levels. We have our ring record in Maher. We have our Joe McDonough. We have our levels. Give every player at those levels the opportunity to play. It's the club scene we need to get right. It's probably new club growths. And a proper plan around, you know, strategy, structure and systems there and style. How do we want to do it in each county? But ring fence and money from National League teams to say you're going to put it into club growths, there's already enough money there. There's a new funding model from Crow Park in games development through 2023. Leitrim and those counties have got their hurling funding for development within that remit from national coaching and games development. So why would you need to be taking money off a national league team and ring fencing it? The money is already there. So I think there's a bigger debate in the GAA, to be very honest, Niall. What's the critical mass of management teams? There's too many in management teams. There's no need for 16 and 32 in a management team. There's a lot of money being spent there wrongly that could go into grassroots. We have this proliferation of the outside vice coming into our counties to manage our teams. It's a bit like the proliferation of the Southern Hemisphere teams in rugby years ago. If you had a Southern Hemisphere accent, you'd be an automatic rugby manager in this side of the world. So we need to change our thinking. What's the critical mass in management teams? How county board officials shouldn't be having to come up with enormous amounts of money to serve a football administration. And again, a Leitrim in football this year, they didn't win a match, you know. So why would the hurling equivalent in their county be pulled from the National League based on that? Outside managers, outside coaches, amounts of expenses there being given out foolishly. I think the GAA need to come with a bit of leadership nationally. What's the critical mass of each of the management teams? And then everyone is on a level playing field. It's not you're richer and you've more money to spend. You can have all these additional supports. So there's a wider debate there, but promoting a sport like hurling, the way to go wasn't taking teams out now, to be very honest.
It's something we could, I'd say we could talk all day about it, Damien. We probably won't solve it today. But listen, thanks a million for coming on the show today. And look, we'll be back in the new year. Thanks to all our listeners and happy Christmas.
Thanks very much for having me, Noel. Appreciate it.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.